and welcome to Nerd Subculture. I'm your host, Jared.
And I'm Edwina.
And this is our Once More We're Feeling series on Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Today we're doing Season 5, Episode 21, The Weight of the World. This episode was, I don't know when it was released, because I didn't write it down, but 2001, we'll say. I forgot to write it down. Sometime in 2001. Written by Douglas Petrie and directed by David Solomon. Over to you, Eddie.
This is a full spoiler podcast. I'm a huge fan, but Jared has never watched the series all the way through, and I'm trying to convince him it's worth his time.
Two more episodes left. One more episode left.
One more episode left after this. Yep. On the home run.
Yep.
It's taken us nearly a year to do season
I know. I know, we keep saying it. Oh, yeah. I know. So what do we think of this episode, Eddie? Top tier? Bottom tier?
How do I explain it? It's a good episode. It's probably not... You know what? It kind of slows down the... Like if Buffy was made today, it would only be 12 episodes long. Do you know what I mean? This is... I wouldn't say it's a filler episode, but it just kind of slows down... the lead up into the final episode.
I feel like it does too, actually. That's a really good point, because it sort of ended on a bit of a cliffhanger. Well, not a cliffhanger, I suppose, but a lot went down the last episode and you figure you should just get straight to it and you kick into the next episode almost, not this one. So, yeah, it's a bit weird, this one, wasn't it?
Well, it's one of those things where this one has sort of these very philosophical elements with it that the episode doesn't have a lot of action.
No.
And it kind of follows three separate stories. Like, there's sort of an A and B plot that are almost on par with each other.
Yep.
And then a C plot.
The A and B plot would be a Spike and...
I'd say Spike, and that's like the C plot.
Oh, that's the C plot. Yep. Okay.
That's the arc in the background going on. But, like, the A and B is... Buffy and Willow in the Buffy being in the catatonic state,
mm-hmm.
that it's like, you know, she's pretty much broken, like her brain has just, she's snapped.
Yeah,
pretty much she can't handle the weight of the world anymore.
No, she just completely shut down.
Yeah, the other one being Glory and Dawn and Ben.
Yeah,
sort of this conversation with Ben and Glory. Like where they're kind of bargaining with each other.
Yeah.
There's kind of this bargaining that they go into, and the big issue with them, you know, I'll go into it later.
Yeah. Okay. Yep. Well, we'll save that. So top tier, bottom tier?
Oh, it's probably middle.
Middle
tier.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. It's probably not going to be someone's favorite episode, but it's not a meh or a worst episode ever.
All right. Well, let's get into the summary. We'll get back to it. Glory readies for the portal ritual, addressing her minions while Dawn, bound and gagged, is forced to listen. Buffy's catatonic state poses a new challenge. Spike's attempt to rouse Buffy sparks a fight with Xander, quelled by Willow's magic. With Buffy and Giles incapacitated, Willow takes charge. They plan to return to Sunnydale. Xander takes Giles to the hospital. Anya cares for Tara. Spike hunts Glory while Willow tends to Buffy. Spike raises concerns about encountering Ben, but confusion ensues as no one recalls Ben's connection to Glory. Spike realizes a protective spell hides this truth from humans. Glory tries to comfort Dawn, who is confused by her feelings of guilt. Willow prepares a spell to enter Buffy's mind, encountering a young Buffy's memories. At the hospital, Xander updates Giles on Willow's plan. Spike returns with little on Glory's whereabouts. Dawn reveals her memory of Ben's transformation, alarming Glory. Ben's presence intensifies, eroding the barrier between him and Glory. As the Scoobies remember Ben's transformation, Glory faces the consequences of their shared existence. Ben briefly takes control, prompting Dawn's escape, but Glory reigns dominance. Ben strikes a deal with Glory to save himself. Willow questions Buffy's hopelessness, prompting a breakthrough. Buffy awakens, distraught. Xander reveals Ben and Glory's connection. Giles reveals the need to stop the ritual by sacrificing Dawn. The end.
Ooh.
All right, Eddie.
So I should say I actually do really like this episode. I know I sort of said before that it slows it down, but it's a good little, I don't know, like this discussion on, you know, the greater good, so to speak. So I thought it kind of deserved its own episode, because a lot of other podcasts or discussions would have joined this together with either the gift or the episode prior.
Yeah.
Because I think the gift really does need its own, because it is the season final.
It kind of does need its own. Well, I think sometimes you just need to take a breath.
Yeah.
And that's probably something that's missed in TV shows these days, where, or when they do try to take a breath, everyone just calls it a filler. But you do need these time to reflect what's happening, what needs to be done.
Have some character development.
Exactly.
And this episode has like probably one of the funniest scenes, which is, you know, Spike being able to remember Ben and Glory, but no one else being able to remember them.
It got funnier every time, too.
It got funnier and funnier every time it happened. And that gets to the point where all of a sudden, like, Xander just blurts out, Ben is Glory! but that magic breaking down, how do I explain this with Ben and Glory? So throughout the series, Ben has been protecting Dawn.
Yes.
And then he had the opportunity to kill Dawn in the previous episode. And then in this episode, he has sort of this bargaining moment with Glory. But Glory is feeling his feelings and he is feeling Glory's feelings.
Exactly.
So I think he kind of gets – he's actually been corrupted by her in this episode.
Yeah, because previously he had the chance to do it and didn't even – blink.
Yeah, didn't even think of, like,
yeah,
it was just
wasn't
like,
even an option.
Yeah. And then all of a sudden he's going back on all of his...
On a guarantee that he really can't be sure she'll go through with anyway. And to what end anyway? To the end of the world? There's no point of being alive at the end of the world, is there?
It's not really the end of the world. It was more a seat at her side in this hell dimension that she ruled over.
Yeah. I don't know if you could really take her word, could you?
No. It wasn't much. Like, I think he would have been better off. Like, as I said, it probably would have been a safer option to get Dawn A. Or the other thing is, not go with Dawn. Just tell Dawn to go.
Yeah, I'm not sure why he ran with her.
Yeah.
Because you must have known time they change can happen at any moment.
Mm.
So there was no reason for him to run with her.
Yeah.
He could have just stayed there. And that way, he doesn't know where she's gone. So yeah.
In the end, he probably...
For convenience reasons, he runs with her.
He runs with her so that the plot can happen. But it is that...
Yeah.
But even Dawn is like, I need to get away from you as quickly as possible. And kind of stuffs up because the moment he's unconscious, it gives Glory a chance to...
Is that how that works?
Well, yeah. Because it's happened when, like, Glory has been... Remember Glory getting hit by the bus?
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, so and then he came. So if you knock him out...
The other one can take control.
Okay.
It's all like right. An easier way of taking control.
I think I've seen an Abbott Costello movie where every time he got hit in the head, he thought he was a woman. It changed his personality or something.
Moving on to the next plot. The B plot, I suppose. Or is it, I don't know, it's like the A and B plot. Like, there's no real A, B plot. There's like three storylines that are all equally as three threads.
Yeah.
So to speak in this. There's not really a main storyline. But I guess because Buffy's the main character, this would be the main storyline.
Maybe the A plot and the one plot.
The A plot and the one plot.
And one's not higher than the other.
Yeah. You have Willow entering Buffy's mind and you get taken through this very creepy kind of loop that she's stuck in her head. And there's sort of these, some of them are memories, some of them are fantasies.
So it goes from when she first meets Dawn.
Yeah, so she gets the first implanted memory. So that's the first fake memory that
So that's a
fake memory that the monks put there.
Yeah.
That's the first thing that we come across.
And then we got the she kills Dawn, or she tries to kill Dawn or something.
Yeah, she kind of picks up a pillow and smothers Dawn. There's the fireplace, not the fireplace, there's the scene with the first Slayer. Scene with the first Slayer with the death is your gift.
Mm-hmm. It's been said a lot this season.
What's the other? The book.
In the book,
Just putting the book back. That happens. This very, very unimportant.
Yeah.
unimportant moment.
Uneventful. She's just putting a book back on a shelf. It's like, okay.
Yeah. And that's why Willow's like, why this? Why are you stuck on this?
Hmm.
And that's when she's like, oh, that's when I gave up.
Yeah. Well, that's when she realized that she had to kill Dawn. I thought that's what it was.
No, it was the fact that she can't beat Glory. It was just that split second. She's like, I can't beat her. It hadn't been revealed yet that the way of stopping all this is to kill Dawn.
Right, okay.
Yeah, that's revealed. In the other storyline where they go to see Doc, it's literally the only real action sequence in the episode. We go to see Doc. We've already seen him before.
He tried to resurrect Joyce.
He helped them with the spell to resurrect Joyce. Yeah, that
possibly worked.
But we don't know.
And her father was there?
Yeah, so Hank Summers makes an appearance in the dream sequence.
Is that the same actor?
Yeah, I think it is. Yeah. I didn't look it up. But normally if he's in, they normally get the same person back.
We need you for 2 hours work.
I don't know, he's such a deadbeat dad. he still hasn't contacted her after Joyce's death.
No, guess not.
Like, he's literally just abandoned his two kids and his, 12-year-old daughter, so to speak. But
do we know if he knows about Dawn?
Well, yeah, he should know about Dawn.
But we don't know if he knows, do we?
Why would he know about Dawn? Like, as in, does Dawn not exist, or that Dawn's the key?
Did the spell work on him?
Well, yeah, it would be anyone in Buffy's life.
He's not really in her life.
Well, he's a dad, though. He's the dad of...
But we never see him ask or talk or anything about Dawn. So as far as I know, he probably doesn't. That's a possibility.
Well, it'd be a pretty silly possibility when Buffy goes to see her dad with her sister. And he's like...
Who the hell's that?
Who's that? No, it's like a world... Like, I think it's actually a world...
A world-changing spell.
A world-changing spell.
Right, okay.
But back to Buffy's dream... Yeah, so you sort of do have Buffy in this bit of an existential, suffering from a full-blown existential crisis where she doesn't know what to do.
She's run out of ideas.
Doesn't know what to do. She doesn't know how to...
Don't know where to go, don't know what to get.
Doesn't know how to go forward, doesn't know how to beat Glory. It's like, the conundrum that is, this all-powerful being that has her sister... Has what she needs.
And she's just run out of options.
Yeah. And pretty much, it's sort of that there are so many different things that she could try, but there's too much going on, so nothing's happening.
Yeah. In one of those days where you got so much to do, so you just decide to go to bed.
Yes, that's it. That's what I mean.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, there's so much she needs to do. The weight of the world is on her shoulders.
I think I'll just sit here instead.
And she gets stuck in this catatonic state.
Well, Spike does help with that a little bit. Slap across the face.
Well, she's also, she's also full of this guilt and helplessness. And it's sort of hindering her ability to confront the current crisis. And Willow does give her that, just that little spark of, you need to snap out of it because she's not dead yet.
Yeah. Game's still going. it's only half time.
Yeah, you're still a player in this. Like, there has to be some sort of solution. And then she comes out of that state and Giles is pretty much like, you have to kill Dawn. That's the only option we have.
Mm-hmm. I came back for this. You guys are terrible.
Yeah. That's right. They get the information off. They get that box off Doc that has... the ritual to open the portal. So nice and convenient.
Yeah.
That Spike knew exactly where to go and where to get it.
Well, it's convenience fell on his lap, though, I think. He just went there to ask him about it and then realize that he's in on it.
Yeah. Spike had that, I don't know, some sort of, like, he sometimes has that ability to just know when something not quite right.
Yeah.
And he was kind of reading Doc, that you're like, you're lying. Why are you lying?
You're lying.
Yeah.
Oh, I should say again about the Ben and Glory joke with Spike trying to explain that Ben and Glory are the same person. That became this very in-joke within the fan community.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
In what way?
It'd be like you put a picture of Ben up at you next to it, it would have Glory written there.
Oh, okay.
You know, like, yeah, there's lots of stupid memes and stuff about it.
What if it somehow ties to Ace Ventura? Ben is Glory. Glory is
Einhorn is Finkel. Finkel is Einhorn. Einhorn is a man.
It also deals with, it sort of kind of explores the themes of memory, because everyone, you know, forgetting Ben and Glory, and we have Buffy stuck in that loop with her memories.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the first memory of Dawn that the monks implanted, which I already brought up.
Yep.
Yeah.
Lots of memories.
Lots of memories.
Memory, turn your face to the moonlight.
This episode also explores and questions the nature of sacrifice. And there are a few ethical dilemmas faced by those who are tasked with making difficult decisions for the greater good.
Well, mainly Buffy, isn't it? It's mainly her that has to make the hard decision.
Yeah.
Well, her and Ben, I guess, makes a hard decision.
Yeah, so they both have to make a difficult decision, and the ethical ramifications around those decisions. The fact that Ben caves in the end, and it does feel really out of character, but again, I think he has been heavily influenced. Yeah. The way that Glory is as well, because Glory is so confused by her feelings.
Yeah,
she's like, I don't have feelings. What's going on?
Well, she was feeling
on?
Guilty. Mm. She started feeling guilt.
And she's like, that's not the point. It's the fact that I can feel something.
So their emotions are sort of bleeding into each other.
Yeah. And then you have the episode end with Giles saying that they have to kill Dawn. That's the only option that they have, is to kill her. That'll be the next episode. What we talk about happens then.
We should have done that ages ago. So many people would have been saved.
Well, I don't know. This is also why I don't particularly like season 5, is because this whole plot line with Dawn being the key. So she starts out as glowing light, but then this ritual is like, there's like a bloodletting. So it was like, did the key always have to be turned into a human to work?
What if they just turned it into a pencil or something?
Yeah.
Or a key.
Yeah. Or like some magic dust or I don't know.
Or why didn't they destroy it?
Well, yeah, like the key needed to have other uses. I think that's the other thing. Like the key needed to be something more special than...
Yeah, it never made any sense. It doesn't make any sense now.
Like a key unlocks something very specific, but it seemed like her as the key unlocks like everything.
Mm.
Like unlocks all the boundaries between realms, which seems kind of pointless.
Yeah, having that sort of power as well, and considering the good guys had it and known if they did just destroy it, then everything would be fine. Or was it they couldn't destroy it? Is that what it was? I don't know. Maybe, like you said, if it had some sort of other power, maybe some sort of other positive power, so there was a reason to not destroy it.
Yeah.
So it could be a key to good things as well.
Yeah.
To positive things, not just the gates of hell.
Yeah.
So to speak. That would have made a lot more sense, I think. But guess not. Unfortunate.
Yeah.
No, just make it the evil thing. It does evil.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
Just make it simple. Maybe it's too complicated that way.
Yeah, but then why did the monks turn her into a human if they didn't want her to be used? Because that seemed to be the main point of...
Well, yeah, it seems like it, yeah. I did Glory's work for it.
Yeah, they've kind of done half the work. Otherwise, what else are you
what
doing with it?
What was it before then? What was it?
It was just like a glowing green light.
Okay.
So
I guess if she got that and she had to put it into a human being and then...
Or would you just throw it into that spot?
or throw it in and turn it maybe. Okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
Or like, well, I'm guessing you'd like pour it like blood. I don't know.
I thought it was, we'd say it was a glowy thing. Is that like a glowing orb or was it like a glowing liquid or was it?
Well, it was like lots of little glowy green things.
Glowy green things. Okay.
Yeah. You saw it in one episode. Some glowy green things. Which is why they're always, that's why all the crazy people are like, oh, pretty glowy green light. Girl is so glowy and green.
Shiny.
Shiny. Well, that's all I really had down for plot points.
I was going to bring up a few notes. Glory sitting in a chair. it just sort of got me. She pulled out the chair and then she sat on top of the chair. And I didn't know what the hell she was doing. I thought she had a bar stool, the way she was sitting up. But she was sitting up with her feet on the seat of the chair and a butt on the back of the chair.
That's so dangerous. So dangerous. If one of my kids did that, I would have been screaming and yelling at them.
So I thought she was going to do that. You know that thing that people do where they put the chair back to front and then sit on it. It's like, hey, I'm cool with you. We're relatable. Mm. You know, I'm going to comfort you because I can sit on the chair backwards. That's usually that scene, isn't it, when people do that. But she did something completely different. I think Riker would be proud.
Yeah, right. I was going to mention Riker. But he doesn't, he's kind of...
He mounts chairs. mounts chairs. Riker.
The fact that, what was the, Lower Decks actually make fun of that. And they call it a Riker.
Seen many clips of him doing that. I think he had back problems. I think that's why he did it.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Well, the guy just likes mounting chairs. Why not?
Okay.
Riker.
All right. Had you seen this episode?
Yeah, I've definitely seen this episode. Many of the scenes seem very familiar. So, yeah, I definitely have seen this one, I'll say.
And did you go down any rabbit holes?
Well, not much of a rabbit hole, but I want to talk about Joel Grey, the actor who played Doc.
Oh, yeah.
So he's
pretty famous character actor.
He's an Oscar winner.
Oh, I didn't know that. Yeah. Oh.
Best supporting actor in?
What movie?
Ooh, it's going to go back a long way from the 70s.
Oh.
Cabaret.
Oh, yeah.
Master of Ceremonies?
Yeah.
Yeah, you recognize
him now? He would have been the gay character.
He's probably gay in real life. Maybe. I don't know.
Don't know.
Not that it matters. The Wizard of Oz in Wicked, the original cast.
Ah.
The Broadway show.
Yeah.
Mm. So there's a few. Yeah. And been acting since the 50s.
He's been in everything.
He has been in everything. So you've even got Alias. You've even got House. You've got Oz. I think I remember him being in Oz too. I think he was a weirdo in that as well. He always seems to play a weirdo. Is that his thing? Is that character?
Yeah, he's a character actor, so he'll generally... he's not the most handsome-looking person, so...
Yeah, it's got that sort of weirdo face. Star Trek as well, Voyager. So, pretty long career. Hasn't done anything in the last couple of years, though, so maybe he might be slowing down. He's in his 70s, so I think you got to stop eventually, haven't you?
Yeah.
You can't be like president that age, can you?
I don't know how they let people be president at that age. It seems like...
You're not being an ageist, are you, Eddie?
For the role of president? Weren't there certain... wasn't there a certain president that was suffering from Alzheimer's while he was in office?
Who was that?
Like, wasn't it Reagan? Not Reagan.
Oh, Reagan.
Yeah, Reagan. Like it was revealed like years later that he had the early stages of Alzheimer's.
Yeah, I don't know. That's frightening. Well, you got the Alzheimer's guy or you got the crazy guy. So, you know, take your pick.
The convicted felon.
Oh, not convicted yet. I don't know when this... All right, let's move away from politics and let's go into question time. How about that?
Sure.
Answer the question.
Okay, Jared. Which character was your favorite in this episode?
I like Spike in this episode.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's the when he lights up that cigarette. He lights up the cigarette in the hospital. No, first he steals a bag of blood and then lights up a cigarette right next to the no smoking sign.
Bad boy, isn't he?
Such a bad boy.
Irresistible. That's the guy you date to piss off your parents.
Yeah. Yeah. Which character do you love to hate?
Ben.
Yeah.
Ben, yeah.
Ben pretty much betrays humankind.
He does, yeah, for a seat at the table.
For a seat at the table, yeah.
Or a seat at the chair.
Somehow I think he'll... It seems like one of those situations where it would never actually turn out good for him.
Well, yeah, he's kind of screwed either way. So, I mean, either being erased from existence altogether once she comes into being, or... I don't even know how she's
even going to... Well, could he live with himself with what he had done once he was no longer under her influence? Like, yeah. he'd probably end up, yeah, living a not so great.
Yeah.
Could he live with that kind of guilt?
That's true, yeah, because if he kills her, then he saves the world, but he had to kill an innocent child.
But it was the whole thing, it was that kind of... It's more the fact that he doesn't... Like, he chooses not to kill Dawn, but kind of takes the coward's route.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, yeah.
Like, it really is the coward's route where he doesn't actually have to do anything.
Yeah, he does nothing.
He does nothing.
So instead of doing something, he decided to do nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's good.
Yeah. LOL moment of this episode.
Oh, it's a Benning. Ben is glory.
Yep, Spike. Joke. It's the Ben, Glory. He's a doctor. She's the Beast. Two entirely separate entities sharing one body. Like a bloody sitcom. Surely you remember. Like, so you're saying Ben and Glory have a connection? Yes, obviously. But what kind?
Yes, but what kind? It felt like a Red Dwarf episode when they're going through the white hole where the conversation keeps repeating itself.
Yeah.
Because Giles says the same thing the exact same way twice.
Yeah.
Yes, but what's the connection?
Yeah.
And he says it exactly the same way in the next line.
Yeah. And then Spike says, that's very crafty. Glory's worked the kind of mojo where anyone who sees their little presto changeo instantly forgets. And yours truly, not being somewhat other than human, stands immune. And then Willow goes, so Ben and Glory are the same person? Xander? Glory can turn into Ben and Ben turns back into Glory. Spike puts his finger on his nose and points the other hand to Anya. And then Giles says, excellent. Now, do we suspect that there is some kind of connection between Ben and Glory? Yeah, it's this
great.
Very well-timed conversation. And then keeps coming back round with later on, all of a sudden, them having the realization. Like, they're like, ah!
Yeah.
Yep.
It's kind of like that joke that you just got.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, why?
Oh, sorry. That's what that means. Yeah. All right. Moving on. Favorite fight scene. There's not a lot of fight scenes in this.
Well, the internal fight of Ben and Glory.
Yeah.
I kind of liked. If you want to call that a fight scene.
Yeah, you can call it. Yeah, it's sort of kind of this argument back and forth.
It reminds me of the cross-dresser guy. You know, you have the guy like split in half.
Yeah.
And he's like one side a woman, one side a man, and he switches from left to right, like talking to himself.
Yeah.
That act you've ever seen before.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Absolutely. Yeah, I was just going to maybe go the Spike and Doc fight scene. Where you get stabbed with the sword and you get some blue goop sprayed up.
He didn't double tap.
No, he didn't double tap.
Mm-hmm.
Then check to see whether that would actually kill him or not. Like,
but yeah, might as well just make sure. Cut off his head or something.
Yeah, decapitation's normally the better option.
Yeah. So I say, if in doubt, decapitate.
Yeah. Ever watched a zombie movie? Decapitation.
That's the double tap, yeah.
Pretty much, and what is it? Decapitation kills most.
Yeah.
Most demons. Most. Not all. Just most. Favorite scene.
Actually, and the same thing, the Ben and Glory. Good scene.
Yeah.
So, good fight scene, probably the best scene.
I actually like the dream loop with Willow and Buffy.
Yeah, okay. I didn't.
You don't like those. Anything similar to Restless, the dream sequences.
Oh, it's not that. It's just, can we just get to the main plot of the movie?
Get to the point already.
Get to the point. Oh, yeah. I'll elaborate in a second.
Yeah. what is your least favorite scene?
So, yeah, the dream sequence. Now, when the episode started, you know, when I said I remember this episode, I don't remember much of those dream sequences, apart maybe the death is your gift, maybe the book thing. I don't remember the girl, her as a girl and stuff. And when it started off as we're going to do the dream thing, I went, oh, they got to do this dream sequence thing, you know, and just sort of drag this out a little bit. When so much is at stake, we're going to sit down in a room and talk.
Yeah.
Now, I know I'm going back what I said before. It's nice just to take a breath and just take in what's going on. But it felt like we're at this point of the story where we're two episodes away from the end of the season, and we're going to sit and talk for a little bit. Like, I don't mind the sitting and talking, but you kind of feel like that should have been done a while ago or something. Like, to do that right at the end just seemed a little, oh, really, we're doing this now? So I wasn't a big fan of that.
Yeah, but that's why the episode's called The Weight of the World, because she literally has the weight of the world.
Oh, I get that, yeah.
So she needs to process that.
Yeah, I get
so
it,
so we
yeah.
get an episode to process.
I know, yeah.
What that actually means.
I know, but I just didn't think it was that great.
Yeah, that's fine. Well, my least favourite scene is actually Dawn hitting Ben over the head. It was just one of those dumb moves. Like, maybe if she had have said, hey, look, you coming along with me is actually really dangerous. She can come back at any minute. Please just let me run off.
Yeah, sure. Good idea.
And you hold off the minions for as long as you can, like something like that. But instead she hits him with a fucking chain and then immediately Glory's there. Mm. Like, it's just such a stupid move. She goes to violence.
I kind of feel sorry for her character a little bit in some ways, because I just kind of feel like she's just got no agency, where everything's just happening to her.
Yeah.
And she sort of has no control on anything.
Yeah.
And it's all, everything's about her, but not about, you know, what she can do.
She's a walking MacGuffin.
Yeah. And you kind of feel like they're kind of weighs on her a little bit. It's just having to sit there and be the MacGuffin of everything that's happening, but not having any control over it, or to be even able to do anything about it.
Yeah.
So I feel for it a bit.
Yeah. Favorite quote?
I reckon we're going to have the same one. Is everyone stoned?
I do have that one, which is why I had another one as well.
Oh, you knew I was going to say that one. Yeah.
No, you didn't do it right. It's is everyone here very stoned? It's the very stoned.
Very stoned, yes. Not slightly.
No, I actually have a Willow quote. Willow's like, and I think we already deja'd this vu. And then little Buffy says, you talk funny. And then Willow's like, yes, as you'll tell me again when we're older and in chem class. Buffy, what are we doing? What are we doing here?
Talk funny.
You talk funny.
Talk funny too, Eddie, sometimes. Especially to the cats.
To the cats.
Talk really funny then.
Well, they're cats. They like when I talk funny.
I know, they do.
Who gets the wooden spoon?
I guess Ben.
Yeah. I was going to go with Dawn.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Just because of the whole hitting him over the head thing. Yeah. It was kind of a dumb maneuver. But also Ben should have been like, hey, get away from me. Or been like, I can feel her influence on me. I'm becoming dangerous.
Yeah.
You need to get away from me as quickly as possible. Like, he should have realized that he could feel her influence.
Yeah.
And kind of gotten her out of there before it became
so
an
many
issue.
Couldas.
Yeah, woulda, coulda, shoulda.
Didn't.
Gonna quote the mother Taylor Swift, woulda, coulda, shoulda.
All right, moving on.
Okay. Who's the MVP of this episode?
Oh, I think Willow's the MVP.
Yeah, I've got Willow.
Yeah.
Mainly because she kind of stops everyone's kind of arguing and fighting, and she kind of pulls them all together and says, hey.
Well, first she did the Separatus or something.
Yeah, yeah. Does a bit of magic on them.
Separatus.
Separatus.
She says something like that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Separate.
So, yeah, she kind of, you sort of see the powerful Willow emerge and take control. And that will become...
Important, I'm guessing.
Yes.
All right, we'll take notes.
Because she sort of becomes the unintentional leader. Because she's probably the next powerful person than Buffy, so to speak. All right, what do you rate this episode out of 10 using something from the episode?
I gave 6 anointed face paints.
Yeah, that was a bit weird. Seemed a bit...
Was it necessary?
Not at all.
It didn't seem necessary at all.
None of it seemed necessary. Like, why did she, need to be in these robes? And yeah. Like, technically, she probably should have been, like, this is, well, they probably couldn't have done it on a primetime television. But really, she probably should have been naked. If you're bleeding someone, you don't want the clothes absorbing all the blood if it's running into... Yeah. Thing. So, yeah, technically she probably should have been naked, but you can't really show...
Virgin sacrifice thing, huh?
Well, you can't really have a naked 13-year-old girl bleeding on the into a void, so...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe it was on HBO.
Yes. If it was made today and it was on HBO, might be a different story.
Could HBO be redoing a reboot of Buffy?
I think that whole reboot has been scrapped.
You never know. Like, it's like the Matrix Resurrections. Like, for years it come up about doing another Matrix movie, and always like, no, it's not going to happen. No, it's not going to happen.
Yeah,
and
but then you could say
something
that about
changed, and I think maybe Keanu's popularity grew. Like, he was like going through the Keanu-sons that we're having, and then he was sort of popular, and they did dig up those ones.
They were always talking about doing a Bill and Ted 3 for years and years and years, and then they remade Bill and Ted. 3, like way too late. Like,
yeah, I know, way too late on that one. But again, you never know. The wind might just pick up
I think they'd just go down that the super woke route and kind of miss that, like, kind of like the remake of Avatar, The Last Airbender, where they just won't be able to get that kind of wit into it.
Possibly.
What do you call it? Like, there's sort of those little... And again, it would only be 12 episode season.
Yeah.
You wouldn't have those little moments. And the fact that there was sort of this, Buffy had its own language that wouldn't actually fit in the vernacular now.
Like, I'm sure they could update that with quotation marks.
Yeah, I just...
I don't want to go down that road.
No, but
what
they,
it would
they would try to do it, and, you know, I think they sort of call it a... I can't remember what you call it.
OMG, Buffy.
But it's like this Whedon-esque kind of language. Yeah, I just don't think they could ever quite do that again, even if they did, like, even if they did get Whedon back on the
show. Oh, he's not coming back.
But he will not be coming back.
He's not coming back.
But even if... But also, Buffy wasn't made by just him. There was other writers like Jane Espenson or Marty Noxon.
The Noxon, are they the producers, are they, who sort of produce
Well,
the
Marty
show?
Noxon will take over as showrunner for the next 2 seasons.
Okay, all right. Yeah. So Whedon's pretty much gone at this point, is he?
Yeah, I think at this point he goes off to do Firefly.
Oh, okay.
And he also has Angel as well. So he has Angel, Buffy and Firefly all going at the same time.
Such a busy bloke, wasn't he? It's part of his career.
Yeah, but maybe he did stretch himself a little too thin because pretty much he, like, loses all 3 of them within 2 years.
Yeah.
Where it's that maybe if you had just focused on Buffy and Angel and then once they ended, then go and do Firefly.
Yeah.
But it kind of jumped the gun and wanted to get Firefly up and running. And then Firefly just got really mistreated and...
That's a whole other story.
Oh, it could have been one of the greatest shows ever made, Firefly, but they just missed the mark. Missed the mark with that one.
All right. Anyway, your rating?
I went 8 out of 10. Very, very stone Scoobies.
Nice.
Nice.
All right. Was there anything else you wanted to add to the end? So, last episode next week?
Yeah, we get the last episode.
Of this season?
Of... Yep, of not this us. Season. Yeah, we might do a movie one after.
Yeah, that, I think yeah, get back into the movies after that. So yeah,
we'll do a movie one before we. Do you want to do two movie ones?
Ooh,
before
we could. Yeah, maybe two
before we venture into season six.
Sounds like a plan.
Which season six is going to be a ride.
All right.
And by the way, season six is like my favorite season. It's okay. Not everyone's favorite, but it's mine.
Well, that's all that matters. All right. So you want to wrap this up?
Yep.
Well, I hope you've enjoyed listening to us tonight. We are Nerd Subculture. My name is Jared.
I'm Edwina.
And if you like what you hear,
you can find us on TikTok, Instagram, YouTube, Twitter. There is a Facebook page. And if you want to help out the podcast, there is a merch store. And you can, if you follow the link tree on the socials.
All right, great. So till next time, take care. Bye.
Bye.
Wanker. What a wanker. A wanker. No talent.